Hello, and welcome to another edition of our Illinois High School Football Podcast. I'm Northwest Herald sports editor Kyle Neighbors. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors, and with me, as always, our Northwest Herald sports reporter, Joe Stevenson. You can find him on Twitter at NWH underscore Joe Prep Zone. And our state football expert is also here with us at The Seuss. You can find him on Twitter. It is Steve Seussy. Okay, guys, that didn't take long for the madness to start with the first round of the playoffs in the books. I'm honestly not even sure where to start. It was kind of crazy all over the place. I guess what I'm going to do is start with the South bracket in 3A. We go ahead and say goodbye to the top two seeds in that part of the bracket with Trenton Westland and Fairfield going down. Seuss, how surprised were you to see those results, and what do you make of the bracket now?
Well, the one thing about Trenton was that I gave me kind of pause. But they were a bubble team between 2 and 3A the entire year, slipped in as the smallest Class 3A team. And it was just a situation where you had to look at what they've done, who they've played, and have a kind of a situation of understanding that maybe their schedule might not have prepared them. And in Pleasant Plains, they were playing a 6-3 team out of the Sangamo Conference, which I think is probably the strongest overall 3A conference, maybe even in the state. So that result did not shock me all that much. And then the other one with Fairfield losing, it was one of those situations where I actually was not sure how good that conference was. And you actually saw that a couple of times this week. Fairfield plays in what I call a locked conference. They play no non-conference games. They only play the teams in their own league. And I wasn't sure how strong that conference was. And if you look all through the bracket, you see lots of instances where the teams that Fairfield, the conferences that they play in, they were beaten by lower seeds this week. So I think there was just a situation where that particular conference maybe wasn't as strong as some of the other conferences in Southern Illinois in the ranks of 3A.
You know, we kind of had a feeling that might be the case, that things were going to get weird down there with Williamsville and Monticello sliding up into the northern bracket. So I guess it's really not that much of a surprise, is it?
Well, it's like I mentioned last week, I had Greenville as my sleeper in the bracket down there to the south, and now Greenville won their first round game. Now they're playing a 15 seed in the second round. It just kind of speaks to, when you look at that south bracket on paper, and even on pairings night when we were talking about who we thought was going to get to the state championship, I was fully prepared to throw a dart because I felt like just about anybody could come out of this bracket down here on the south side, and you could make a justification for how they would have got there.
Yeah, Steve Vandalia, the 15 seed you're talking about that plays Greenville, it lost to Greenville 40-36 in week three. Vandalia's losses were to 9-1 Payne and 9-1 Carlinville and 8-2 Greenville. That's a pretty good team.
And then if you look at that bracket too, those teams are all still alive down there. Carlinville's right, still moving on. Payne is still moving on. I mean, you could potentially have three of those teams moving on to the quarterfinals to the next week, all from that same conference. I think it's entirely possible that happens.
And you mentioned the Sangamo Conference. What is Vandalia's conference again?
Vandalia is in the South Central.
So that's
the situation where that's a league that's typically pretty deep as well. Has teams that you get accustomed to seeing here at this time of year, Carlinville being one of them that obviously has a lot of postseason success. But that's a really good league. It's also a locked conference. But the thing about them is this year it looks like that's an extraordinarily good year for a locked conference. So it's always confusing when you get into the playoffs. How good are these teams that don't play any non-conference games because you've got nothing to compare them against? It's another problem that we run into in one of the upper classifications. With the Northern Illinois 10, you just never know how those teams are going to fare it out. And you saw it this week, didn't go very well for that conference. So it's one of those things where it's a mixed bag. The locked conference gives you the security of making it into the playoffs if you get to 5 wins, but it gives you no comprehension of how you're going to be against teams that are probably a lot different than you.
Over in the top half of 3, the Northern bracket, we actually saw the seeds hold perfectly all the way through. Seuss, that's not going to happen again this week, is it?
Yeah, I don't really think so. I mean, obviously, you've got IC Catholic looming there as a 5 seed, and I think that there's a potential for every one of those lower seeds to win the game. I'm not saying I would pick it that way, but I could see how every one of the lower seeds in this bracket could potentially move on to the quarterfinals. I understand how it probably isn't going to happen, but there's at least a chance for each one of those four teams to get it done.
Yeah, I think all four of these games could be interesting. Can you give us a little bit of background on Wilmington? Obviously, it's always been a really good program over there, Jeff Reach runs, but they lost a lot last year, and I know they kind of got off to a slow start. Did they put it together?
Well, they did, and the thing about them is what, you know, you're used to from Wilmington, them having one or two guys that just that pop at you. They're just the type of players that you're like, wow, that's a really good 3A football player. And they've had bunches of those over the years. And I don't know if they really have one of those this year. And it kind of took them a while to figure out what their identity was. But once they kind of just went back to the core principles of that program, which is playing rock solid defense, they just kind of started to figure themselves out. And they got a nice little running back combo with Connor Dempsey and Matteo Lombardi that, you know, moves the chains. They're never going to light up the scoreboard. You're never going to see Wilmington throwing the ball all over the field. But what they are is a solid ground-based defensive team, and it, especially in the lower classes, that's the kind of thing that can take you pretty far in the postseason.
So let's jump over to 4A. Let's jump over to 8A, where, you know, it's always going to be a really tough class, and we had number 26 Edwardsville and number 23 Palatine squaring off this week. Joe and I actually went over to Huntley on Friday night and watched Edwardsville make the long trip up here in really cold conditions. They were down 17 points in the second half and came back to beat Huntley. Joe, what impressed you about the Tigers?
Well, aside from the obvious thing is the speed and their quarterback, Kendall Abdur-Rahman, Coach Matt Martin was saying he thinks should be getting more recruiting from some of the Division I schools just as an athlete, not necessarily as a quarterback. I guess he was a defensive back last year. That kid was really good. It was really a lot of fun, Kyle, for us to sit there and watch Huntley quarterback Eric Mooney and Abdur-Rahman do their thing, because it was kind of like anything you can do, I can do better, one-upsmanship, you know, some of the stuff we were seeing them do. And it was really fun to watch those two. You know, I was impressed with just the grit that Edwardsville showed after getting down 17 points in the third quarter. At that point in the game, Huntley had just scored 24 consecutive points. And you're on the road, like you say, it's cold, you're 5 hours from home. And they dug down and came back and really played some great offense, scored 28 points in the second half of that game.
You know, and Seuss, this is kind of funny because, you know, we kind of give some of the riders in the southern part of a state a hard time. I guess kind of homerism sometimes with some of these conferences as you get farther down in the state. But I feel like it's almost the opposite for the Northern Riders when it comes to the Southwestern Conference. You and I have been a fan of it for quite a while. And once again, Edwardsville gets through. You had Alton, who, you know, 5-4 comes up and wins a first-round game. Got four pretty good teams in the playoffs. Does that conference deserve more respect than it probably does in the northern half of the state?
Well, the one thing that a lot of people don't seem to grasp, because they don't cross over to other sports maybe as heavily as they should, and I think Joe can speak to this too, because I've seen him at the state track meets and I know he's a track guy and he understands these things. If you go down and you watch the state track meet, you see East St. Louis, Edwardsville, Alton, and Belleville all over the track.
On and Cahokia and 2A.
And Cahokia is right. Another. Yeah. I mean, you see these schools, they have athletes out the wazoo. That's just the way these schools are. And a lot of people don't really recognize that. So when these teams come up here, the first thing that you notice, it was what Joe just mentioned a minute ago, was the overall speed. These are very fast football teams that, to be honest with you, you can't really prepare for, because you don't see teams like this on a weekly basis. So if they can mix in some line play and get decent line play, they're going to be a terror to try to stop from a defensive perspective, just because of all the assets that they have on the field. I think this is a conference that is historically underrated, and people just kind of say, well, it's East St. Louis and everybody else. And that's just not the case. I mean, there are some very good teams down there, and they're usually victimized by these long trips that they have to make coming up here to play in, you know, opening round contest. Edwardsville survived that this week. They got to do it again next week, so we'll see how they manage to do it 2 weeks in a row. But yeah, this Edwardsville team, very intriguing just in the way that their season has been put together. It's been a bizarre puzzle, and it's a real testament to the coaching staff there that they were able to keep this team together when they had the 0-3 start and come into the playoffs as a substantial underdog to Huntley, and rightfully so, and figure out how to get this win done.
And really quickly, before we get back to some of the interesting games in 8A, staying in that conference, Southwestern Conference, Alton too. You know, they get into the playoffs at 5-4. They almost beat East St. Louis, or at least a 3-point game in week 9. And I won't say that Lincoln Park was a particularly tough matchup in the first round for them, but given the way they've played, playing with East St. Louis, they were 0-9 last year. Now Lincoln Way West has to go all the way down there. That's a game Alton can win, don't you think, Seuss?
Yeah, I do. It's going to be an interesting matchup for Lincoln Way West in terms of dealing with the things that Alton brings to the table. Like you said, a 5-4 team that nobody was talking about obviously got a fortuitous draw with Lincoln Park in the first round there. But still, this is a tricky game for Lincoln Way West. And if they think this is going to be a nice little vacation, a breeze down there to go play Alton and get themselves into the quarters, I think they're sorely mistaken.
All right, well, let's head back over to 8A. Not a lot of craziness in the upper class in week one or the first round of the playoffs. Seuss, what stands out to you heading into the second round, though?
Well, two of the quarterfinal matches in particular just kind of really jump off the page at me in the fact that, you know, these are teams that I think are at worst top 15 teams in the state, and they're now playing each other in the second round. The one thing that really jumped out at me in the first round was kind of the struggle that Loyola had to go through to get past New Trier and move on to the second round. And it gives me a little bit of pause about the Ramblers now that they're playing kind of one of my teams that I've kind of picked as one of my teams that I really, really like what they're doing and what they're about. Hinsdale Central beat up playoff team that is always there in Stevenson and moved on to the second round. So a real interesting matchup there between Loyola and Hinsdale Central in my mind in round two. And then the other one that intrigues me quite a bit is, and this is one of the things that the seeding always kind of, you know, I know 8A is loaded, but the fact that Homewood Flossmoor, a 4 seed, is playing a 13 seed in Naperville Central in the second round in a game that, to be honest with you, I could easily see as a semifinal game or maybe even a final, kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Hey, Steve, how about Chicago Curry coming out and beating an Alliance team from
West Suburban.
Dropping 46
West
points
Suburban
on them.
Silver?
Yeah.
And you know, a strong conference. And Curry, I was looking at its schedule, even had a couple weeks where it didn't play. It got forfeits. And then to come out and do that, how about that? Kind of caught my eye.
That's one of the, like I was talking about with somebody, I can't remember who it was earlier this week. You know, the public league, there's a clear division. There's a couple of teams that are capable of winning in the state playoffs, and that's it. And they are one of them. And it's one of these programs that has kind of quietly built itself up and has emerged as kind of in lockstep with Simeon as one of the better upper class teams in the public league. Phillips, obviously, a step above both of those programs, but this is a good team, and they have a lot of ability to run the football and give people problems. And the one thing a lot of people don't know about them, a really good line for this team as well. So they do a nice job of doing what they do. It's not an extraordinarily complex offensive system. It's just one of those things where they say, this is what we do. We do it really well. And if you can stop it, more power to you, but we don't think you can. And that's what they showcased in the first round in this win over Lions. Lions was kind of an enigma for me this year, to be honest with you. I thought they were going to be a little bit better than they actually turned out to be. Obviously, with a quarterback who's heading to the University of Cincinnati and Ben Bryant, this was a team that had high aspirations to start the season. But they kind of scuffled their way through the regular season and got themselves to a 7-2 regular season record. I'm not going to say I wasn't surprised by this result, because I was a little bit. But Lions, to me, was maybe one of those teams that was primed to be picked off by a lower seed this week.
All right, let's move on to 7A here. You know, it's kind of, I wouldn't say there was a lot in 7A that jumped out to me here. Seuss, is this the week where things get weird?
You know, I think it could be. You know, there was a couple of things that kind of popped off the page to me. And it was, I was talking about this conference a little bit earlier with the Northern Illinois 10. I was surprised how easily Lincoln Waite Central just dispatched Rockford East and moved on to the second round. I know they're a good football team, but that was a total demolition. And that really kind of caught my eye and maybe leads me to believe that this team might have a little bit more in the tank than I originally thought. So that's an interesting thing. And then, you know, and I have been back and forth on this team all year long. I think Mount Carmel might be back.
Yeah.
And I know I've said this multiple times and then recanted and then went back again. But I think they find now that they have Alec Thomas back in the fold and they're using him in a role that best utilizes his skill set. I think this is a dangerous team right now sitting there as an 18 seed. I know they have an undefeated team in Normal Community this week, but it would not surprise me at all if the Caravan keep moving here.
That's kind of a fun game at Gately on Saturday, noon kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that that's going to be a pretty solid encounter right there.
What do you make of St. Rita and St. Charles North?
You know, that's an interesting game right there, and I've kind of flip-flopped on it. St. Rita's actually on their third-string quarterback now due to a various number of injuries, which, I mean, the Mustangs aren't entirely relying on the pass game, so this isn't a devastating type of situation, but still, it's your third-string quarterback. So, you know, St. Charles North, to me, is a team that's still kind of flying under the radar a little bit. There's not a lot of people talking about them, but they can score points. They've got a lot of components that can get stuff done. And they have the advantage of having that game at home. That's a good setup for them. You know, I kind of think that this is a game that St. Charles North can win and maybe should win. So that's a good matchup, though.
All right. Going over to 6A. Joe, you and I are a little bit biased, but one of the best matchups in the state in any class this weekend is probably Prairie Ridge at Cary Grove. So I'm going to turn things over to you, and you can tell us why.
Well, it's these are two great programs. You know, between them, three state titles since 2009. Cary Grove won 6A in 2009. Prairie Ridge won 6A in 11 and last year. And the surprising thing is they haven't played in the playoffs except twice, 2005 and 2009. They were in the semifinals together that year. Cary Grove beat Prairie Ridge 40-7. They've been close a couple times, and Cary Grove lost. And then there was a few years where Cary Grove was in 7A while Prairie Ridge was in 6A. They've had some great regular season games. And two, like I said, two outstanding programs. So this is really a fun matchup for us here in our area. I'm sure Al Boer Field is going to pack in about 3,500 people on Saturday, I would imagine.
That's right. I was going to ask you for an over under on the attendance.
Yeah, I would say 3,500 maybe. I think it'll be, you'll have people lined all the way around the fields and all the way around on the fence and stuff. I think it's going to be a really fun game and something we were looking forward to last year. We thought it was going to be a semifinal, and then DeKalb came in and knocked Cary Grove out in the quarters, but it should be a lot of fun. Two teams, you know, great traditions, both run the option very well, and Prairie Ridge is going to be tough to beat, though.
Yeah, in our local podcast, Seuss, all three of us, Joe, Sean Hammond, and I, picked Prairie Ridge. I'm going to get your take on it, because while I think Prairie Ridge is the better team, obviously they know each other well, they know each other's system, but I was a little bit surprised with the way Cary Grove was able to handle St. Ignatius, particularly after I was surprised to watch St. Ignatius beat St. Lawrence in week 9. What do you, as an outsider, how do you view this?
Well, I mean, looking back to the St. Ignatius game, St. Ignatius was kind of a confusing team to me all season long. And I was able to talk to somebody who was at that St. Lawrence game, and they explained it to me as it was a classic game of keep away. St. Ignatius was just simply trying to keep the ball out of Torrey Clinton's hands, St. Lawrence's outstanding running back, and hold it for as long as possible. got a couple of turnover breaks. It was just one of those games that where it seemed like everything the Wolfpack needed to go right, it did. And it's just kind of a team with a confusing resume heading into the playoffs. I mean, they lost to Bishop McNamara, a team that didn't make the playoffs and won three games. They were really tough to figure out. I didn't really think they had much of a chance against Cary Grove in this game, just based on those factors. So that outcome didn't really surprise me all that much. But, you know, there are so many things that can happen between week one and week 10 that I almost think you have to throw the 7-6 game out the window and just kind of look at who is playing better football. And I think that's Prairie Ridge. There have been times in this season that I've wondered how good Cary Grove is. I haven't wavered on my belief in Prairie Ridge at any point in time.
Going down to the southern portion of the 6A bracket, and Seuss, I'm sorry about Crete Moni. I know they were your pick to make the state championship game. Where are you going now?
Well, I mean, I think before, when you look at it, I mean, I was torn when I looked at the initial bracket between Crete and Providence anyway, and now I'm just going to push all my chips towards Providence because that's what's going on there. I really felt like it was – I mean, I saw Crete earlier this year. There was no result that stunned me more than that one because, I mean, when we were fighting it down on pairings night, you know, and I'm looking at those teams that are fighting for the last slot to get into the field – I'm thinking, you know, is it going to be a shame if this team doesn't get into the field or not? And, you know, I looked at Hinsdale South's resume, and it's really not all that good. They've got some questionable losses on there. So I was just like, well, I mean, if they don't get in, it's not the worst thing in the world. And then they come out here and they shock one of the teams that I thought had a really good chance of getting to DeKalb. So maybe there's a little bit more there than I thought. I mean, those that know the history, I mean, 2 years ago that these two had an exceptional semifinal game that Crete won and went to the finals. I'm sure none of the same, very few of the same kids were there for that game, but still, you know, the coaching staffs knew it. They know each other. There's a little bit of a rivalry there, but the results still really surprised me quite a bit.
Okay, guys, before we wrap up here, are there any thoughts on any of the other classes? We haven't talked much about 5A or 4A. Seuss, anything that's interesting to you in those classes?
Well, I think 5A is going to be kind of fun this week. I think there are some games between teams that I think there'll be some really good battles there. When you look at, I mean, Phillips is still my favorite to win, but that Phillips-Solorio game when they played the first time was really, really close, and Phillips didn't really put it away until late in the fourth quarter, so... any team that's got a quarterback as talented as Quincy Patterson, which Solorio does, can give a good game in that situation. And then you go to the South, you've got some fun matchups. I mean, I really like that Washington-Decatur-MacArthur game. I think that's going to be interesting. Decatur-MacArthur surviving the heart attack game last week where they had to stop a two-point conversion in the final minute to make sure they advanced. And I'm liking this Hillcrest team right now, to be totally honest with you. Really kind of took care of Peoria last week. That was not a close game. But they're playing another team that I really like from you know, Chatham-Glenwood. So that's a really interesting matchup, too. I just think that there are a lot of matchups in 5A, when you look at it on paper, that could be really, really close, interesting football games. So that's what I'm looking for out of that class.
I think the one thing that interests me that we haven't hit on is actually in 4A, the Southern Bracket. Rochester and Belleville Altoff Catholic playing in a second-round game, in a game that we are used to seeing in the state semis. I think Rochester is the favorite here. But, Seuss, maybe for some of the people that don't know as well, can you tell us a little bit about the history of those two programs and how they've met?
Well, I mean, you look at this, since we've gone to this geographic system, it seems like since Belleville Altoff has been in 4A, and that hasn't really all been that all that long, because of course, if you really go in the Wayback Machine, when the waiver, the playoff waiver was in place for Belleville Altoff, they were actually in the 2A playoffs 1 year as a 5-4 team, which got everybody up in arms as they rambled through the Southern bracket. And eventually lost in the final, but it was still kind of a thing. But since they've both been in 4A, there have been some epic battles between these two teams. And Belleville Altoff actually snapped Rochester's consecutive state championship string in the semifinals 1 year before going on to the finals and losing to Phillips. So there have been just some really, really great games in this. And if you like shootouts, this is the place to be. To be honest with you, if we had mastered teleportation, that's where I would be on Saturday night by choice, would be at that game, because I would like to go to it regardless, but I got to be somewhere else and I can't get there in time. So, but that's the game that to me is easily the potential for the most interesting game out of all classes this week.
All right. Well, I figured we'd wrap it up this week with giving an upset pick here. So I'm going to go ahead and let Joe start us off.
Well, I will go to 7A, and I will go with number 13, Wheaton North at 8-2, at Batavia, a number 4 seed at 9-1. I like Wheaton North coming out of the DuPage Valley, and I don't know, I just think that the Falcons have a good shot here.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and go into 3A, a game that we mentioned, how we were talking about in the northern half of the bracket, how we felt all or any of them could go either way. And I'm going to take number 6 Monticello over number 3 Byron. I like Byron. They've obviously had a very nice season. They've had a string of nice seasons. Unfortunately, they just seem to always come up a little bit short come playoff time. I really like this Monticello team. Good offense, balanced offense. I think that they're going to be able to get it done. Seuss, how about you?
This is one that was, when I looked at it, I was trying to find ones that I actually thought would be considered upsets, because if you just go by simple seeds, there are quite a few of them where I think the under seed is probably going to win the game this week, but that doesn't necessarily qualify under these grounds. But this one was tough for me because I really like both of these teams, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go with 13 seed Naperville Central over number 4 seed Homewood Flossmoor. I really like this Naperville Central team. I think they have the components on offense to score points against a Homewood Flossmoor defense that really hasn't given up a whole bunch this year. And Naperville Central's had their fill this year of high quality running backs in their regular season schedule that will at least prepare them somewhat for what Justin Hall is going to bring to the table from Homewood Flossmoor. So I think this could potentially be a big time shootout, but I'm going to go with Naperville Central in the upset here.
You're really going out on a limb picking against a Southwest Suburban team, huh?
Yeah, I am. That's one of the things that when I looked at it, I just decided I was just going to go out on a limb here for you and give you a big one. So,
all right. Well, that will do it for us here this week. Good luck to all the teams that are looking to make it to the state quarterfinals this weekend, and we'll be back with you next week to wrap everything up.